Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Chris Goforth.
Keeping you up to date all weekend long.
This is going to be the best weekend ever!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in The Game on this Sunday afternoon. Look, we've spent the last hour talking around the National Football League. I want to stay with the sport of football. We're going to switch gears, though, and talk a little college football. Welcome in our guy, Bill Bender, from the Sporting News. You can find Bill's handiwork online. Head over to sportingnews.com. Some fantastic stuff from Bill always, and he's got his college bowl predictions out for this season. So we'll get to that in just a second. Bill, I want to start with this. This is the year of change in college football, from the playoff schedule to conference changes happening, television changes happening. What do you see as the most significant change in college football for the 24 season?
The 12-team playoff. I mean, there. You know, I know, and I believe is the there's going to be a 2-minute warning, you know, those kind of things. There's so many changes. It's vast between. You've got to have like almost a card up by your TV or your where you sit by your TV to show where all the teams are. I did it yesterday, and I do this every day. I said, wait a minute, what conference are they in now? And I had to look that up. The NIL, the transfer portal, those things get talked about constantly, but I really think it comes down to the 12-team playoff is going to alter how we watch it in the regular season. How we, you know, what our expectations. You take Georgia, for example. How do fans come to grips with the fact that they can go 10-2, probably still win a national title? I think it's really interesting what the 12-team playoff is going to do to the entire sport.
Does it heighten the regular season, Bill, or does it lessen the regular season? I've heard arguments on both sides. Where do you stand on it?
Well, it's going to change how you watch it. I would say I would compare it to the NFL a little bit, where if you're Georgia and you somehow lose to Tennessee, instead of thinking to yourself walking out of that Sanford Stadium where you're like, our season's over, the sky is falling, well, you know what? We might see them again in the quarterfinals. And that's part of this. A different experience. I think it's going to impact the rivalry games a little bit. You go through our bowl projections, and again, using Georgia as the example, they could potentially play Texas or Alabama three times. You know, regular season matchup, possible SEC championship matchup and a matchup in the playoff, which is to my next point is the value of conference championship games is different to me. I know you got to win them to get that first round bye. Same time, if you lose that game in the SEC or the Big Ten, you're still going to be in the playoff.
Bill Bender from the Sporting News. You can check out his bowl projections online. Go to sportingnews.com. Bill's hanging with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we take a look at conference realignment and everything that has happened, how secure, Bill, do you think the ACC is going into the future?
Well, I think they need to come to some sort of agreement or with Florida State to secure that future. If Florida State were to leave or Clemson were to leave, it would really put the conference on shaky ground as far as being a power conference anyway. I know they added Stanford, Cal, and SMU, a bit of a head-scratching move from the outside until you realize, well, that protects their numbers. And at that point, I think there's a separate struggle between the ACC and the Big 12 of who's going to be that kind of third string conference behind the SEC and the Big 10. I don't know how you feel. I mean, when I look at it, before you really start to look at it, you think, well, yeah, the ACC is the third best conference. It's got Florida State. It's got Clemson. It's got Brands. But you kind of look at that Big 12 and you're thinking they've been aggressive. They've done everything they can to survive since Texas and Oklahoma left. So if the ACC could follow that blueprint.
You have Clemson as a playoff team. Now, you have them bowing out in that first round of the playoffs. Do you consider this a pivotal year for Dabo Swinney?
Yes and no. I mean, he's not going to change. He's made that pretty clear, right? They do have a system that works for them. They've won a lot of football games doing it. By the way, they didn't lose after the sort of famous call from Tyler from Spartanburg. 5-0 after, so maybe he should call their station every week. He better call a couple times before that Georgia game. So I think down on their program because they're still winning at a pretty good clip. They did it's tailed off a little bit, but for me, it comes down to the quarterback production and the receiver production and the offensive production. It just hasn't been there. When you go from Deshaun Watson, or even take it all the way back to Taj Boyd,
yeah,
Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, their last couple of quarterbacks haven't produced like that. I think to some extent they may have gotten a little spoiled at the quarterback position.
Bill Bender from the Sporting News, he's hanging with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk a little college football on this Sunday afternoon. This was the off season, and we're going to get to Ohio State in just a second, Bill, because I thought they had a fantastic recruiting class just out of the transfer portal. It felt to me like this was the year where there were more knowns in the portal, if that makes sense, like bigger name guys were in the portal that ended up, I think, going to schools where they can make a difference. Did you feel the portal being maybe a little heavier this year in terms of the overall quality that was there? It wasn't a lot of, you know, fourth and fifth wide receivers trying to find a place to go where they could see more playing time this year, it felt.
And not just, I mean, I think the quarterback position to me the last couple cycles has been just okay. I mean, we can hype up Cam Ward and Will Howard and DJU all we want, but, I mean, there's a reason you keep transferring at that point. But like you said, a lot of impact players all over the country. Ohio State definitely got some of the good ones. And that's part of this NIL game where you almost have to re-recruit your stars. Now, that's an interesting thing as we move forward into this 12-team era. How much do these star players keep going to different schools versus staying in school? You know, I always use Michigan as an example. Blake Corum probably had, I don't know if he'll ever reach the peak that he did at Michigan last year in the NFL with the Rams. And I don't think he cares because he was able to capitalize that because with the NIL deals that he was able to get to stay in Ann Arbor last season.
Have you got an early favorite to win the Heisman?
No, I'm going to break that down closer next week. I know Carson Beck is the betting favorite, and you pretty much have to go with a quarterback, and it's never a bad strategy to go with a quarterback who's probably going to be on the best team. But there are some other interesting candidates to me. I mean, Jalen Milroe at Alabama, if they have a good year. Those are the two quarterbacks that kind of jump out. Quinn Ewers in Texas, although we talk about Arch Manning just as much as Quinn Ewers. And you kind of wonder, okay, is this a year that a non-quarterback can win? I always think that's fool's gold because it's really hard. You have to do a lot of phenomenal things outside of being a quarterback to win the Heisman. So the early favorites to me are probably Quinn Ewers and Carson Beck because they have those big stage games. They have really good teams around them. You know, Dylan Gabriel at Oregon's another one, another transfer quarterback, by the way.
Yeah, I wanted to mention Will Howard at Ohio State, the guy that comes from Kansas State to Ohio State. That's a pretty talented quarterback room there at Ohio State. Is he the guy that will he be the guy there? And what kind of chances do you give him as a Heisman? Because that's obviously going to be a team that's really good.
Right, and I think, but they're going to run the ball more this year. You know, and you know about Quinshon Judkins. You've watched him play down there.
Sure.
I think that was – as much as Caleb Downs is getting, and Caleb Downs may be the best defensive player in the country, getting Quinshon Judkins gives them a physical running presence, and he's splitting with Travion Henderson, the Chip Kelly edition at offensive coordinator. I think they're going to run the ball 60% of the time because Will Howard can run too. So short answer is yes, Will Howard's a Heisman candidate within that offense, but I think they're – the victory for them is going to be having this balance where you have 5-6 different playmakers. It's not just like last year where, you know, Marvin Harrison was that guy, but if you could contain him a little bit, which Michigan did, and stop the run, you were in pretty good shape.
I want to swing around to the SEC for a minute here while I've got you, Bill. Can Billy Napier survive the season at Florida?
I don't know who made their schedule.
Ooh,
I don't know. It's one of the toughest schedules I've ever seen when you consider, you look at the November, all the SEC opponents that they have on there, plus Miami. I actually think for all those games in week one, and there's some great ones, Georgia and Clemson, Texas A&M and Notre Dame, LSU, USC, that Miami Florida game is going to has a lot of pressure on the loser, don't you think? Because if loses that game up against his schedule, I actually think if he wins 5 or 6 on against that schedule, be okay. But I am neither a Florida alum nor a Florida Gator fan, so yeah. I think they would view that a little bit differently.
What does Kalen DeBoer need to do in year one at Alabama following Nick Saban to give the Alabama faithful confidence that he's the guy going forward?
Just be himself. Be himself and make the playoff. You know, I don't think he has to be a guy to go out and say, I got to go win 6 national championships and dominate the SEC every year. They're going to have to compete. I'm actually starting to come around on them a little more because I think their roster is pretty good. Jalen Milroe, pretty efficient once he got going last year. He actually led returning FBS quarterbacks in passer efficiency. Decent defensive talent around Kane Womack. He hired good coaches around him. I keep reminding people, guys, he took Washington to a national championship in 2 years, to a national championship game. Who else could say that? So yeah. I think he just needs to be himself, and you know, it's a tough, but that's why he took the job.
Bill Bender from the Sporting News. You can find Bill, find his handiwork online, sportingnews.com. It's a great resource. You're a college football fan, especially this time of the year. You're trying to get geared up for the season. Check him out online, again, sportingnews.com. Bill, kind enough to spend some time with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we finish up, Bill, you note, and again, I want to encourage folks, they can check out your bowl projections online at sportingnews.com. You note the fact Georgia is the composite number one across 8 major publications going into this season. It feels like everybody thinks it is Georgia. It is Ohio State for that national title. That's what you've got set at sportingnews.com. Is there a gap between those two and everybody else? Is it just that clear cut? These are the two best teams in the country?
Yes. For now. And I say that because we've never seen somebody get through a 12-team college football playoff march. I think they have the roster depth necessary to win three games in the college football playoff, both teams. And, you know, obviously fluky things can happen. We don't have to rehash what happened to Florida State last year and Jordan Travis, but that could happen. An injury at quarterback, and that changes the race. But I think there's a little bit of a gap between those two and Texas and Oregon, and then you kind of get into that second tier of teams. I'll say this, though. When I looked across all those publications, and I love doing that, by the way. I've loved doing that since I was a kid. I was a little bit surprised that nobody had Ohio State number one. And I think the biggest reason why is the stability Georgia has at quarterback with Carson Beck versus what Ohio State has, a little bit of uncertainty with a transfer quarterback.
Bill, as we wrap things up here, we'll let you go. I want to put you on the spot for just a second with this. Of all of the teams that changed conferences, I mean, I think we all expect success from places like Texas and, you know, USC or whatever, but is there a team that changed conferences this year that you think is going to surprise with this, you know, change of scenery?
You know what? I think it's going to put the proper light on Utah. And when we talk about Utah, we always say, oh, solid program, Kyle Whittingham, good defense. Now they've worked their way up the WAC through the Mountain West, through the Pac-12. It's like, you know, like a reverse path east to west sort of. And now they're in the Big 12. And I think they're going to make the playoff. I think they're going to win the Big 12. I think they're going to have a first round bye because you get one as a Big 12 champion. And all of that work that Kyle Whittingham has put to work with that program is going to show up against, you know, competition that should be fun. The Big 12 is going to have a lot of parity. It was really hard to pick a champion. I think Kansas State, Oklahoma State, those type schools are going to be in the mix. And I just, as much as it hurts the conference financially to lose Oklahoma and Texas, from a competitive standpoint, letting some of those schools shine, I think they're going to love it. And I think fans are going to enjoy watching the Big 12 as well.
Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Find his handiwork, sportingnews.com. Bill, great stuff as always. We will do this again over the course of this summer. I guarantee it. Always enjoy it when we get a chance to catch up, man. We'll talk soon.
Hey, no problem. Thanks so much for having me on.
Bill Bender from the Sporting News. He's been hanging with us here on the wait4.com hotline. We come back. We'll have more. We'll get to it after this. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
talking all things Atlanta sports on the weekends with Chris Goforth.
This weekend on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in on this Sunday. Final few minutes for us to be able to hang together here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Had a lot of stuff that I wanted to get to. I think I've done a pretty good job today of staying on target. I was afraid I was going to end up bouncing all over the place, and I do want to get back to the Hawks in just a second. But a couple of thoughts on some things that we saw happen over this past week. And there's some more college football stuff that I wanted to get to and bring up as well. I am super excited over the release of NCAA football again from EA Sports. I'm glad to see that game come back. Dom, that might be enough to get me to go out and actually buy a new game system for the first time in, 20 years.
You know, it's funny. I was going to say, I have the new system and everything, and I literally, like, last year was like, you know what, I'm done buying Madden games. Like, it's all the same stuff. I'm coming back for college football, though.
Yeah.
NCAA, yeah, I'm back for that one.
EA Sports put out their team power rankings for college football 25. Look, there's some people listening to us today that as soon as that game comes out, they will immediately go dynasty mode with Georgia. Georgia's number one in this. Ohio State's two. Oregon is three. Alabama's four. Texas is five. I don't have a whole lot to say about the top five. They've got Clemson at six. I think that's way too high for Clemson. They have Ole Miss at 15. I think that is too low for Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss offensively, especially, is going to be much better than the number 15. They have Colorado at number 16. I know Colorado has some outstanding individual players, but I just, Colorado's not top 20. I don't even, they're not even top 25 as far as that goes. So, look, there's a couple of things you can check it out again. Georgia is number one. There's no surprise that in their team rankings. And also too, we've spent a little bit of time here and there over these last couple of weeks, whenever we've talked college football, mentioning the fact Florida and Billy Napier and whether or not he survives this year and how difficult that Florida schedule is. 9 of their 12 opponents this year are preseason ranked. That includes 7 straight ranked opponents to be able to end the season. And we're going to talk a little college football all summer. And at some point in time, we're going to have to talk a little bit about the Florida Gators and what's coming there, because I think that is going to be one of those stories this year over the course of the college football season, is just how does Florida do? Because obviously, if that job comes open, that is one of the, I mean, look, it's Florida. It is very fertile recruiting ground, and it is a place where not only have people won, they have won big there in the past. Real quick, Athlons, I'll finish our college football talk with this. Athlons has put out the 10 best games of 2024. They've got Michigan and Ohio State 1. Can't argue with that. Georgia, Alabama is 2. Georgia, Texas, by the way, is 3. Texas, Michigan is 4. Ohio State, Oregon, that's number 5. They've got Clemson and Florida State at 6. Oregon, Michigan is 7. Texas, Oklahoma, the game will be played in Dallas, obviously. That's 8. Georgia back in this again at Ole Miss on November 9th. That is the 9th best game. Then they've got Ohio State, Penn State in the top 10. In their next 10 that they don't, they just rank them chronologically, that Georgia-Clemson game to open the season. So Georgia's got 1, 2, 3 games in the top 10 and another one that is in that second group of 10, if you will. It's hard to, you start talking about the best games in 2024. I think it's going to be and I know there's a lot of people that don't like the conference expansion that is going on. I probably fall into that category as well. Like if on face value, I would say no. I would rather keep those regional rivalries. But you got to admit, man, the idea of Texas and Oklahoma being a conference game in the SEC, that's interesting. Georgia and Texas being a conference game. Again, I just think there's something to be said for that. So we'll continue to talk a little college football off and on as we make our way through this summer. Let's get back to the Hawks here for just a second. The Hawks drafted Zachary Richichet. As I said earlier today, somebody on Twitter called him Zachary Ricochet. I like that, by the way. I don't really think that the Hawks taking this guy came as a surprise to any of us. It seemed like he was one of the two or three guys that the Hawks were going to end up with. Friday night, we find out DeJounte Murray is going to New Orleans. Brad Rowland from Locked On Hawks joined us earlier. We talked a little bit about that move and the drafting of Richichet and what's going to be next for the Hawks. Here's what I think we do know right now about the Hawks, and here's what I think we can take away about the moves that were made this week. I think we can set aside any talk about this team, you know, kind of hitting the reset button. Any talk about, you know, hey, let's blow this thing up and start over. I don't think that is a question at all. The fact that the Hawks don't own their own draft picks right now, tanking does not help the Hawks. It helps the Spurs. So I don't necessarily know that that's going to happen. And secondly, you know, the Hawks are not going to move on from Trae Young. I think that's the other thing that we can take from this. The idea of Trae Young and DeJounte Murray, I mean, if you're playing fantasy basketball, it makes a lot of sense. But for whatever reason, and that's probably a topic that we can explore one day when we've got more time than what we've got right here in this one segment, but for whatever reason, it never fit. It never worked, at least not the way we thought it would. And the Hawks were going to have to move on from somebody, one of those two. They decided it was DeJounte Murray. They kept the guy they drafted in Trae Young. So Trae Young's not going anywhere. I really feel like Trae Young becomes much more valuable to this franchise now than he's ever been in the past. Because, look, he's going to have to score. We know that. He's got to be your creator on offense. Now you're going to ask Trae Young. He's no longer the young buck, if you will. You've got to ask him to step in that role as a leadership position on this team. He's got to be able to lead. I don't know what's going to happen at that center position. You heard Brad talk about it earlier. You know, is Clint Capela going to be here? Doesn't sound like the Hawks are going to keep, you know, three centers on this team. And Capela is the guy that you can probably move, probably be able to ditch a little bit of salary in the process, and probably be able to get something in return for him. Maybe Okongwu. But I point to Capela because if you take him off this team, that's another one of those veteran guys that has been through all of this before that you're going to kind of lean on. And again, I think that, especially if Capella's not here, but even if he is, Trae Young's the best player. And Trae Young's got to assume that leadership role now. When you get into the drafting of Zachary Richichet, you know, the hard part about it is when you start taking a guy like this is, I mean, let's be honest. None of us are watching French basketball, right? I mean, we read about it. We listen to the people that do watch it, and we hope that the people that watch it and are paid to know about guys like Richichet know what they're talking about. And he's somebody that I think has been on the radar of those folks in NBA scouts, at least since he was about 16 years old. He brings to the Hawks, though, the ability that they weren't going to get if they traded down in this draft. The ability that they weren't going to get in free agency because they're just not going to spend the money. We can we can go on all about that all day. They're not going to spend any money. They are hell bent. This team is not going to be over the cap. They're not going to spend the money. But he's a tall guy, 6'8", 6'10"-ish, depending on what you see. Tall guy, perimeter shooter, can defend multiple positions. That right, that's what everybody in the NBA wants right now. That's the skill set. Give me length. Give me a guy that can shoot a little bit from outside. Give me a guy that can defend two or three positions or more on the floor. That's why the Knicks wanted Mikal Bridges so bad. You've seen the Celtics build around two guys like that. The Hawks have been trying to build around Trae Young, which is fine. But I think you still got to have a guy like Reese Shea in order to win. And if he can be that guy, again, got a little height, got the ability to shoot from the perimeter, the ability to be a little bit of a disruptor on the defensive end, that's what that look, this has a chance to be something the Hawks have not had in a long time. We don't know how this guy's going to turn out. There's no guarantee that the Hawks got this right. We don't know that he's going to be a superstar. I said earlier, I don't think he needs to be a superstar. Man, just be good. If he's good, if he's someone that, if he's good, he's going to give you something again. You're not going to get it by trading down in the draft because guys that have that skill set are not there. Something you're not going to get in free agency because they're not going to spend the money. Then this may be a piece that the Hawks really need. You're not asking for him to come in and be the savior, if you will, of this franchise. You just need him to come in, just be good. You know, deliver on those two basketball things. He's got the length. He's got the height. He's, you know, I mentioned it earlier. I've seen, depending on which website you looked at, which, you know, draft preview you wanted to read, he was anywhere between 6'8 to 6'10. Somebody said he was 6'9 barefooted in France. I don't know. They use some sort of weird metric measurements. Who knows if that's right? But I'll say this. That's something you can't coach. And if he can bring those other pieces in, shoot from the perimeter, play defense, defend multiple positions, the Hawks have found something. In a draft when, I mean, look, let's be honest. That's the most Atlanta Hawk thing ever, is to have the first overall pick in the draft when it's considered to be a down year in the draft, isn't it? But you're not asking or expecting this guy to come in and be the savior of the franchise. They asked Reese Shea the other night who he would compare himself to in this game. He said Klay Thompson. And if that's the case, this pick's going to work itself out okay for the Hawks. We'll go off the rails. A couple of wild stories. Let me ask you this. You can chime in, by the way, on Twitter, at 929TheGame. You can find me at ChrisGoForth1. If you could delete one song from existence and you never had to hear it again, what song would it be? At 929 The Game. Chris Goforth hanging out on this Sunday, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Live Atlanta Sports Talk on the weekends.
That's right, for the whole weekend.
Back to more Chris Goforth
on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Chris Goforth. Time for us to go off the rails here. Dom and I ready to wrap it up. Final segment for us. We'll make way. More baseball talk coming up. Grant McCauley, he'll get you caught up on what's happening around the big leagues. I do want to update you real quick. That game should have been final now. Hang on. The Phillies had made a dadgummit. The Phillies came back and beat the Marlins today, 7-6. Miami had that one in hand. Philly started to rally late. They came back. They won it 7-6. So that sucks. Braves lost today. That happened early today. And the lead now between the two. Hang on, let me hit refresh. for a second. I want to make sure I'm right. I think this pushes the lead out to 8. It does. So the Phillies with an 8-game lead now over the Braves. Phillies won 6 out of their last 10. Braves have won 5 out of their last 5. As we talked about earlier, though, important for the Braves, just keep winning series. And that's what the Braves have been able to do thus far. They were able to win the series against the Yankees, could not get it done against the Cardinals, had no business losing the single game against the White Sox. But they did win this series, even though they lost today, they did win the series against Pittsburgh. And so the Braves will get a couple of games now against the Giants. That'll start tomorrow. Phillies will be in at the end of the week. So I think the Phillies come in on the 5th. So, look, that 3-game set against the Phillies is going to be – it's going to be really big. Braves get tomorrow off. They get the Giants then Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday before that 3-game set against Philadelphia. Those are all, by the way, at Truist. So the Braves need to continue. Took 2 out of 3 from the Pittsburgh. Get 2 out of 3 from the Giants. Take 2 out of 3 from the Phillies. Just keep winning these series. And I think at the end, you're going to be fine. But as we've talked about here before, I don't think the Braves necessarily need to win the division. There's so many teams that get in the baseball playoffs now because of the wild card that I don't think it's going to matter. So I still think they're going to end up in the playoffs. The question becomes then is how far can they go, right? What can they do? How far can they get? All right, it's time for us to go off the rails here. We'll touch on a couple of non-sports related things. Songs you would delete from existence and never, ever, ever have to hear them again. Everybody has got a song like that. I have said before, and I realize, middle-aged white guy, this is pure blasphemy, right? I could go the rest of my life and never hear the Eagles, 38 Special, or Boston and be okay with it. Any song, take your pick. Hotel California, I'm good. You can keep it. Don't need to hear that again. I tell you one other. It's not really a song, but Dom, you're going to know it. And for those of us that have slogged away here at 92.9 The Game the last decade on the weekends, it's that dadgum Cars for Kids jingle.
Yeah.
If we can get rid of that, I'd be okay with it. I'm sure it's a great cause. Bless their heart and the good work they're doing, but that's just awful. And I'll tell you one more, another unpopular opinion, another unpopular take. Sweet Caroline. I can't stand it. Maybe it's got something to do with a dislike of the Boston Red Sox. Right. I can't stand Sweet Caroline.
I was going to say, is it like a, so it's not like because it's played out thing? Because I can understand that because it does get played a lot. I do love that.
I don't understand why it has become like some sort of sports anthem. I guess as far as I know, the Red Sox started it. I don't get the connection there. Whatever. Don't need to know it. Not a Red Sox fan. Don't care. But I don't understand now why it has become like a, just like this, the some sort of sports anthem. Like, that is not a song I want on the next Jock Jams CD, okay?
Right.
All right, so what? Look, I gave you a whole slew there. Sweet Caroline, though, is pretty high up on the list. What is that song? Is there a song for you that you could maybe delete from existence, Dom?
I thought about this one for a little. There's a few songs. The one that pops up in my head, it's a pretty popular rap song by an artist called Black Rob that came out. This is, may have been late 90s, early 2000s, but it's a song called Whoa, and it's very popular. And I have just always remembered hating that song from day one. Never liked it. Wish I could take back the moments that I've had listening to it throughout the years because other people like it.
What is that song that you would like to delete from existence to just never have to hear again? At 929 The Game, you can find me at ChrisGoforth1. I'll throw another one at you. As a dad of two daughters, how about Let It Go from Frozen?
You know what? And I can get behind this one also. Not even because I don't like the Let It Go song. It's just that song gets way too much hype. But it's also not even the best song in the movie. There's like another song in there that I actually like better than that one.
30 years ago, somebody probably would have, if we'd had this conversation, somebody probably would have brought up Barney.
Yes.
You know, the purple dinosaur. Because there are some annoying, look, Baby Shark, annoying. There are some annoying kids songs. My kids never watched Barney. We somehow managed, and they are 19 and 15, almost 16, and I somehow managed to raise them. I mean, I think they know, you know, Barney the Purple Dinosaur, like they know that stuff, but they never watched it. They never watched it. Now, we watched a lot of, Dora the Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
We watched a lot of Dora. When my youngest was coming up, it was, Doc McStuffins.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
We watched a lot of Doc McStuffins, Peppa Pig.
Peppa Pig is great.
Yep. I love Peppa Pig. But yeah, I could, again, the Barney was a little annoying, but we talk about the songs we would delete from existence just to never have to hear them again. You can hit us up at 929 The Game. You can find me at ChrisGoForth1, whatever that may be. Dom, we talked last week. I will hop back into the sports realm here for just a moment. We talked last week about the Olympics coming up. You're an Olympics guy. You enjoy watching the Summer Olympics. I do as well. And so, you know, this is the qualifying time, right? When people are qualifying for the Olympics.
Right.
The Netherlands had four golfers qualify for the Paris Olympics. They're only going to send one. Basically, the Netherlands told the other three, I know you qualified. You're not real good. You're not good enough, is basically what they said. So four qualified, they're sending one. There's three, they basically said, we don't think you're worthy of going. These three even said, hey, we'll pay, if this is about money, we'll pay our way. We'll pay for it ourselves. And the Olympic committee there with the or the group that's over the Olympics in the Netherlands said, nah, we don't think you're worth going to the Olympics. They have some, so there's IOC standards that you have to meet. Well,
right.
Again, they had four that met IOC standards. The Netherlands has its own standards. They have to, you, as a Dutch athlete, you have to have a realistic chance to finish eighth or better in your respective sport in order to go. And they looked at these three golfers and said, you don't have a chance. As a matter of fact, the Netherlands Olympic Committee, Dutch Sports Federation said, and this is a quote, after a careful analysis of the results in golf, it has become clear that the requirement from the IOC does not provide sufficient prospect of achieving a position in the top eight of the field. That is why the Dutch Golf Association and the Federation agreed on an additional national requirement.
You know what? I like it. I'm not mad at this at all. No more giving out participation trophies. We're not sending you unless we feel like you can actually win something. I'm not mad at it at all.
I don't have a problem with it either. I don't have a problem with it either. You know, it's no different in football, in college football, when we see 6-6 teams get a bowl bid.
Yep.
You know, and the bowl is supposed to be a reward, right, for a successful season. You went 6-6. You went 6-6.
Exactly. What did you really
You shouldn't be going to a bowl.
Right.
But now, again, I can putting myself in the shoes of those golfers. Oh, man, you think you've done enough to get in and your home country tells you you're not worthy? Ouch.
Yeah, but on the flip side, pretty sweet to be the one guy that got picked.
That's true.
Pretty That's sweet true. To be the one guy that was like, hey, I'm worthy.
So, again, we tossed this out there earlier. Songs you could delete from existence and never have to hear them again. Costello Knight on Twitter, at Costello Knight, he says, hey, Chris, I'm listening to you guys on the radio. You hit the nail on the head. 877 Cars for Kid. If I never have to hear that song again, it will be awesome. Also, Michael Kern says, I know it's not technically a song, but 1-800 Cars for Kids. Yeah. Look, guys, that was one of the ones that I, there was a, you remember when, what was it called? The Michael Jordan docuseries that came out.
The Last
You know
Dance.
The one I'm talking about?
The one
yeah,
like
The Last
recently?
Dance. Yeah. Right. Somebody did a meme. There was a scene in that where Jordan is on the bus and he's got his headphones on.
And he's
kind of bopping to the music. And if you turn the sound on the meme, it was the Cars for Kids song.
Oh, man.
It was playing in the background. I'm just telling you guys, I've been here. I'm in my just crossed the 10-year mark at 92.9 The Game. And that, you know, you go back 2014, 2015, and working that 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. shift hosting on 92.9 The Game, most stations, this one included, after midnight, you don't really have a ton of commercials, and that 877 Cars for Kids with the, is that like supposed to Johnny Cash impersonator? Because that's what it sounded like to me. It always sounded like it was somebody trying to sing like Johnny Cash.
All I know is whenever I heard it, it made me for sure not want to donate my car to any kid.
I have heard that so many times. It is
like
it is
brutal. The one thing that I'm definitely not doing after hearing this jingle is donating my car.
Mm. Again, I'm sure they do good work. I'm, you know, good calls, all that. I don't mean to make it sound that way. And I'm glad to hear I'm not the only one that finds that to be the most annoying thing ever. All right. The most stressful airports in America. Now, this comes from the Daily Mail, which is a UK-based paper. They looked at the 15 busiest and biggest airports in the U.S. and created the Stressful Airport Index. You want to take a stab, Dom, about which airport was the most stressful?
Whew. I don't know. Like, because I feel like just because it's busy doesn't mean it's stressful. Like, obviously here in Atlanta and then Chicago, like with O'Hare, like those airports to me aren't stressful, even though they are very busy. I know just from experience, the most stressful airport I've been into was in Miami.
Really?
Yes.
That's on the list, by the way.
Okay.
Miami's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. See, Miami's 6th. When I go to Miami, I fly to Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fort Lauderdale's easy. I'll tell you who's got a really easy airport, and maybe it's because nobody uses it. Tampa. You ever flown to Tampa?
I have not flown. I've always Tampa's driven
super,
into Tampa.
I have had great experiences flying into Tampa. Super easy. It's easy to get around in. They say, again, this is according to the Daily Mail, which is a British newspaper, the most stressful U.S. airports, number one is Chicago O'Hare. That's number two is JFK.
Okay.
They got Dallas-Fort Worth at three. The Denver International Airport is four. LAX is five. Miami's 6. Orlando is 7. I've flown to Orlando. I don't remember. I don't really remember one way or the other. It's been a while. Newark International in New York. The airport here in Atlanta, comes in at, hang on, let's see, 6, 7, 8.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Live Atlanta Sports Talk on the weekends.
That's right, for the whole weekend.
Back to more Chris Goforth
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Chris Goforth. Time for us to go off the rails here. Dom and I ready to wrap it up. Final segment for us. We'll make way. More baseball talk coming up. Grant McCauley, he'll get you caught up on what's happening around the big leagues. I do want to update you real quick. That game should have been final now. Hang on. The Phillies had made a... dadgummit. The Phillies came back and beat the Marlins today, 7-6. Miami had that one in hand. Philly started to rally late. They came back. They won it 7-6. So that sucks. Braves lost today. That happened early today. And the lead now between the two. Hang on, let me hit refresh for a second. I want to make sure I'm right. I think this pushes the lead out to 8. It does. So the Phillies with an 8-game lead now over the Braves. Phillies won 6 out of their last 10. Braves have won 5 out of their last 5. As we talked about earlier, though, important for the Braves, just keep winning series. And that's what the Braves have been able to do thus far. They were able to win the series against the Yankees. Could not get it done against the Cardinals, had no business losing the single game against the White Sox. But they did win this series, even though they lost today, they did win the series against Pittsburgh. And so the Braves will get a couple of games now against the Giants. That'll start tomorrow. Phillies will be in at the end of the week. So I think the Phillies come in on the 5th. So, look, that 3-game set against the Phillies is going to be – it's going to be really big. Braves get tomorrow off. They get the Giants then Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday before that 3-game set against Philadelphia. Those are all, by the way, at Truist. So the Braves need to continue. Took 2 out of 3 from the Pittsburgh. Get 2 out of 3 from the Giants. Take 2 out of 3 from the Phillies. Just keep winning these series. And I think at the end, you're going to be fine. But as we've talked about here before, I don't think the Braves necessarily need to win the division. There's so many teams that get in the baseball playoffs now because of the wild card that I don't think it's going to matter. So I still think they're going to end up in the playoffs. The question becomes then is, how far can they go, right? What can they do? How far can they get? All right, it's time for us to go off the rails here. We'll touch on a couple of non-sports related things. Songs you would delete from existence and never, ever, ever have to hear them again. Everybody has got a song like that. I have said before, and I realize, middle-aged white guy, this is pure blasphemy, right? I could go the rest of my life and never hear the Eagles, 38 Special, or Boston and be okay with it. Any song, take your pick. Hotel California, I'm good. You can keep it. Don't need to hear that again. I tell you one other. It's not really a song, but Dom, you're going to know it. And for those of us that have slogged away here at 92.9 The Game the last decade on the weekends, it's that dadgum Cars for Kids jingle.
Yeah.
If we can get rid of that, I'd be okay with it. I'm sure it's a great cause. Bless their heart and the good work they're doing. But that's just awful. And I'll tell you one more. Another unpopular opinion. Another unpopular take. Sweet Caroline. I can't stand it. Maybe it's got something to do with a dislike of the Boston Red Sox. Right. I can't stand Sweet Caroline.
I was going to say, is it like a, so it's not like because it's played out thing? Because I can understand that because it does get played a lot. I do love that.
I don't understand why it has become like some sort of sports anthem. That It's so, I guess, as far as I know, the Red Sox started it. I don't get the connection there. Whatever. Don't need to know it. Not a Red Sox fan. Don't care. But I don't understand now why it has become like a, just like this some sort of sports anthem. Like, that is not a song I want on the next Jock Jams CD, okay?
Right.
All right, so what? Look, I gave you a whole slew there. Sweet Caroline, though, is pretty high up on the list. What is that song? Is there a song for you that you could maybe delete from existence, Dom?
I thought about this one for a little. There's a few songs. The one that pops up in my head, it's a pretty popular rap song by an artist called Black Rob that came out. This is, may have been late 90s, early 2000s, but it's a song called Whoa, and it's very popular. And I have just always remembered hating that song from day one. Never liked it. Wish I could take back the moments that I've had listening to it throughout the years because other people like it.
What is that song that you would like to delete from existence to just never have to hear again? At 929 The Game, you can find me at ChrisGoForth1. I'll throw another one at you. As a dad of two daughters, how about Let It Go from Frozen?
You know what? And I can get behind this one also. Not even because I don't like the Let It Go song. It's just that song gets way too much hype, but it's also not even the best song in the movie. There's like another song in there that I actually like better than that one.
30 years ago, somebody probably would have, if we'd had this conversation, somebody probably would have brought up Barney, you know, the purple dinosaur, because there are some annoying, look, Baby Shark, annoying. There are some annoying kids songs. My kids never watched Barney. We somehow managed, and they are 19 and 15, almost 16, and I somehow managed to raise them. I mean, I think they know, you know, Barney the Purple Dinosaur, that stuff, but they never watched it. They never watched it. Now, we watched a lot of, Dora the Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
We watched a lot of Dora. When my youngest was coming up, it was, Doc McStuffins.
Yeah, yep, yep.
We watched a lot of Doc McStuffins. Peppa Pig.
Peppa Pig is great.
Yep, I love Peppa Pig. But yeah, I could, again, the Barney was a little annoying, but We talk about the songs we would delete from existence just to never have to hear them again. You can hit us up at 929 The Game. You can find me at ChrisGoForth1, whatever that may be. Dom, we talked last week. I will hop back into the sports realm here for just a moment. We talked last week about the Olympics coming up. You're an Olympics guy. You enjoy watching the Summer Olympics. I do as well. And so, you know, this is the qualifying time, right? When people are qualifying for the Olympics.
Right.
The Netherlands had four golfers qualify for the Paris Olympics. They're only going to send one. Basically, the Netherlands told the other three, I know you qualified. You're not real good. You're not good enough, is basically what they said. Four qualified, they're sending one. There's three, they basically said, we don't think you're worthy of going. These three even said, hey, we'll pay, if this is about money, we'll pay our way. We'll pay for it ourselves. And the Olympic committee there with the, or the group that's over the Olympics in the Netherlands said, nah, we don't think you're worth going to the Olympics. They have some, so there's IOC standards that you have to meet. Well, right. Again, they had right. four that met IOC standards. The Netherlands has its own standards. They have to, you as a Dutch athlete, you have to have a realistic chance to finish eighth or better in your respective sport in order to go. And they looked at these three golfers and said, you don't have a chance. As a matter of fact, the Netherlands Olympic Committee, Dutch Sports Federation said, and this is a quote, after a careful analysis of the results in golf, it has become clear that the requirement from the IOC does not provide sufficient prospect of achieving a position in the top eight of the field. That is why the Dutch Golf Association and the Federation agreed on an additional national requirement.
You know what? I like it. I'm not mad at this at all. No more giving out participation trophies. We're not sending you unless we feel like you can actually win something. I'm not mad at it at all.
I don't have a problem with it either. I don't have a problem with it either. You know, it's no different in football, in college football, when we see 6-6 teams get a bowl bid.
Yep.
You know, and the bowl is supposed to be a reward, right, for a successful season. You went 6-6. You went 6-6.
Exactly. What did you really
earn? You shouldn't be going to a bowl.
Right.
But now, again, I can putting myself in the shoes of those golfers. Oh, man, you think you've done enough to get in and your home country tells you you're not worthy? Ouch.
Yeah, but on the flip side, pretty sweet to be the one guy that got picked.
That's true.
Pretty That's sweet true. To be the one guy that was like, hey, I'm worthy.
So, again, we tossed this out there earlier. Songs you could delete from existence and never have to hear them again. Costello Knight on Twitter, at Costello Knight, he says, hey, Chris, I'm listening to you guys on the radio. You hit the nail on the head. 877 Cars for Kid. If I never have to hear that song again, it will be awesome. Also, Michael Kern says, I know it's not technically a song, but 1-800 Cars for Kids. Yeah. Look, guys, that was one of the ones that I, there was a, you remember when, what was it called? The Michael Jordan docuseries that came out.
The Last
You know the
Dance.
One I'm talking about?
The one
yeah,
like
The Last
recently?
Dance. Yeah. Right. Somebody did a meme. There was a scene in that where Jordan is on the bus and he's got his headphones on.
Yeah, he's
kind of bopping to the music. And if you turn the sound on the meme, it was the Cars for Kids song.
Oh, man.
It was playing in the background. I'm just telling you guys, I've been here. I'm in my just crossed the 10-year mark at 92.9 The Game. And that, you know, you go back 2014, 2015, and working that 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. shift hosting on 92.9 The Game. Most stations, this one included, after midnight, you don't really have a ton of commercials. And that 877 Cars for Kids with the, is that like supposed to be Johnny Cash impersonator? Because that's what it sounded like to me. It always sounded like it was somebody trying to sing like Johnny Cash.
All I know is whenever I heard it, it made me for sure not want to donate my car to any kid.
I have heard that so many times. It is
like,
it is
the one thing that I'm definitely not doing after hearing this jingle is donating my car.
Mm. Again, I'm sure they do good work. I'm, you know, good calls, all that. I don't mean to make it sound that way. And I'm glad to hear I'm not the only one that finds that to be the most annoying thing ever. All right. The most stressful airports in America. Now, this comes from the Daily Mail, which is a UK-based paper. They looked at the 15 busiest and biggest airports in the U.S. and created the Stressful Airport Index. You want to take a stab, Dom, about which airport was the most stressful?
Whew. I don't know, like, because I feel like just because it's busy doesn't mean it's stressful. Like, obviously here in Atlanta and then Chicago, like with O'Hare, like those airports to me aren't stressful, even though they are very busy. I know just from experience, the most stressful airport I've been into was in Miami.
Really?
Yes.
That's on the list, by the way.
Okay.
Miami's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. See, Miami's 6th. When I go to Miami, I fly to Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fort Lauderdale's easy. I'll tell you who's got a really easy airport, and maybe it's because nobody uses it. Tampa. You ever flown to Tampa?
I have not flown. I've always Tampa's driven
super,
into Tampa.
I have had great experiences flying into Tampa. Super easy. It's easy to get around in. They say, again, this is according to the Daily Mail, which is a British newspaper, the most stressful U.S. airports, number one is Chicago O'Hare. That's number two is JFK.
Hmm. Okay.
They got Dallas-Fort Worth at mm-hmm. three. The Denver International Airport is four. LAX is five. Miami's 6. Orlando is 7. I've flown to Orlando. I don't remember. I don't really remember one way or the other. It's been a while. Newark International in New York. The airport here in Atlanta comes in at, hang on, let's see, 6, 7, 8. Comes in at 9. I have never had a problem flying out of Atlanta. Now, it is by far. I mean, it's like the busiest airport, and it's not even, I mean, it's the busiest airport by like 10, 12 million travelers over the next airport. Maybe it's because I've flown out so much, I know my way around. You know, I know where to go. I think that has something to do with it.
But Hartsfield is easy to navigate. Like, there are signs everywhere. People who get lost in Hartsfield, I get it's big, but like, eh.
I'm with you. I'm with you. You follow the signs, you're good. Now, I will say this about Chicago. It's listed, O'Hare is listed as the most stressful. The last time I was there, they just had a ton of construction going on, which made it a little difficult to get around in. You felt like you were, you know, walking around the planet in order to be able to get to where you were trying to go. All right, it's going to wrap it up for us. No plane flights this week. No plane flights this week. All right, back with you Friday night. Looking forward to that. Back again next week. Not on Sunday. Oh, no, on Saturday. Looking forward to that as well. Hopefully you can come hang with us. Grant McCauley's coming in next. He'll be talking some baseball. Glad to have you with us today. Keep it right here. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.